Welcome to the Star Wars, I mean, Craft Beer Cast of Josh.
That's Jeff.
Josh, wow. That's Jeff.
Wrong show.
Hey, I'm Chris. That's Jeff.
Hey, I'm John.
Josh, that's Jeff.
Alvin.
No, you said it. Wait till you listen to a playback.
I don't ever listen to a playback.
I know you don't.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, I'm Mark.
That's Josh.
You're back. I'm again.
We're keeping things the same. We're not just shaking things up for the sake of shaking things up.
Right. Fair enough. You mean unlike Stone Ring? Dun, dun, dun.
It's been a while since we've talked about Stone.
Yeah,
we should talk about Stone like a couple times a show.
Yeah, we did.
Limit two? Okay, fine.
Limit two.
Okay, fine.
All right, so
tell me about Greg Koch.
Greg Koch, Cook Coke.
Unrelated, right?
Yes. And he is stepping down as the CEO of Stone.
Did we not call that like 6 months ago?
I feel like we did.
He went on a sabbatical. We're like, oh yeah, he's totally stepping down. Because they probably what's going on is they want to sell, and he doesn't want to sell.
Or they want to grow, and he's not in the position to make the company grow any further. He is a brewer. Guy's a brewer.
Yeah.
The company has gotten too big. The company is a corporation now. It's big.
Oh, yeah.
They're international.
Huge.
They need a real CEO, someone that can handle the day-to-day operations of the business, not the brewery.
I'm in. Sign me up.
The business side. You got to handle the business side of brewing. So they need a CEO. They need a CFO. They need a COO. They need all the C's.
Yeah.
They need the C-level executive.
I'll run it.
I thought they said I could be the CTO.
Following in the footsteps of Sam Caligione from Dogfish. He did this about a year ago, right? He stepped down as CEO, still chairman of the board. The companies are just getting too big for the old home brewer guy to keep pushing the company forward. They need good corporate structure and management to grow the company to the next level, whether they're satisfying internal shareholders or prepping the company for sale to larger companies and bigger shareholders.
Yeah, I don't think this diligence. Sorry, great points. This may or may not be an indication that something's going to be happening. I would definitely not bet the farm on it. This is super normal for companies that are going through huge growth. I mean, they've been growing. It's actually surprising me that it's taken this long for Stone to bring on somebody to do this and all these other roles, because at a certain point, a business is a business is a business, whether it's a brewery or not. At that size, there's a lot of things you have to think about, worry about, handle.
Absolutely.
It is not. This happens with small companies or startups that get bigger, software, whatever it might be, IT, mom and pop businesses a lot of times. Breweries are no different. At a certain point, the guy who started it, who had the vision, needs to kind of step aside, let somebody come on who knows how to handle that and scale it, all these other positions. And it's not abnormal for them to take a chairman role or some sort of board position or other like strategy role. But at the end of the day, this is normal. I wouldn't look too much into it, but it also doesn't mean that there might be some pressure from somebody saying, hey, like, different CEO and, you know, executive.
Well, does this say, are they hiring a CEO or have they promoted someone?
No, they're hiring a CEO.
Okay, so I liked what I liked
so
what Dogfish did.
So there's a job posting.
Dogfish, right. What
so
Dogfish did, they had their COO or CFO or somebody who was doing the CEO work anyway. He just kind of stepped aside and said, hey, you know what? This guy's been doing the job for the last 10 years. He's just going to be our CEO. So this is actually a hiring a position. That's very interesting.
And again, it is, but to me it's not. I mean, I've seen this happen with companies that are way smaller, and it's normal. I don't think people should be, I'm not saying they're not going to get bought or get an offer, but I don't think this is any kind of like.
Well, and he, even at the very top, like the byline of the article says that he has squashed any rumors that he's stepping down because they are going to sell. I think it's just, he's
for
taking pressure.
Now.
Yeah, but you also can't say, like, even if they were, you can't come out and be like, I'm stepping down because we're selling.
Yeah, well,
my honest opinion, I know that we've bashed on Stone and tons of times, but Chris, you hit the nail on the head earlier of saying that dude was a home brewer. He's not a businessman.
Yep.
And as big as fucking Stone is anymore, He probably just can't stand
so
the pressure.
Size these up. So we know Lagunitas got purchased. We talked about it in the last show. That was the biggest one we've seen to date. Size up Stone and Lagunitas side by side. Who do you think is bigger?
Stone by far.
So by you're far. Talking about a really, really big deal.
Lagunitas
was
$2 billion.
Yeah, you're talking about a different ball game here if someone were to purchase Stone. So
absolutely. Yeah.
And now he can spend more time hanging out with Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
Will Wheaton.
Newcastle? Are they going to buy Stone here? Who owns Newcastle?
Wow. There you go. That'll be the move.
Well, Heineken,
Will Wheaton brokers a
does.
Conversation between Greg Koch and Newcastle.
And Heineken?
Who makes Newcastle?
They weren't on the Heineken list that you checked out last year, so I don't know who owns Newcastle.
You have devices in front of you.
All these,
to the interwebs!
Computer devices in your pockets.
All right, so while Jeff is looking that up, I'm sure you guys probably knew this, but MillerCoors had a plant in Eden, North Carolina, where they were brewing a bunch of beer.
So it's a regional production brewery for local, the local plant for MillerCoors. So,
yeah, they were doing about 7 million barrels a year out of that plant.
Which How many people do they employ there?
About 363.
So before everybody high fives and cheers and says, oh my God.
I'm sorry, 520.
Yeah, so big beer going down. You suck. Go away, big beer. That's 520 people that just lost a job.
Yep.
They're out of a job. And a lot of these people are probably home brewers, craft brew drinkers. They're working in the beer community, in a beer plant because it's close to them. It's where they live. It's something they have passion for and that they do. So
or it's disregard, just a job.
Disregard the corporate evilness, but there are real people.
It still might be just a job, but that's irrelevant. Like,
there are
the fact
real
is
people losing real jobs.
500 plus people who just lost a job.
That's real people losing real jobs, and I hate that.
You know, and fingers crossed. I mean, like, it is North Carolina. There's a lot of breweries opening up. I'm hoping that those positions go towards somebody else and something else. So you never know. But yeah, it is. It's not a fun thing. It's not something to really necessarily be celebrating.
Well, and they are moving, basically. They have another one in Shenandoah, Virginia, that's 200 miles away, that is basically taking over the work for the folks in Eden. So,
well, it's a cautionary tale for any amount of huge expansion. You've always got to be careful, regardless of the industry.
Yeah,
because at some point, it will cease to make sense unless you are in one of the headquartered areas.
Yep.
It'll cease to make sense to have a satellite office.
Yep,
there's a lot of efficiencies they obviously gain from this Eden, North Carolina plant that they've determined they can save money on by routing it all out of Virginia. It is a shame. We talked, I think, somewhat at length about their very dubious misinformed website they had put up about saving beer jobs in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as we railed against it, you know, we even said back then, at some point, if they shut this down, real people get impacted by it.
Well, and not only is it MillerCoors employees, Ball, who does the cans and their bottles, they had 183 people in that plant. They're gone too.
Sure. I also do think that the article or the site that you're talking about was talking about the pop the cap 25,000 self-distribution limit, which was talking about potentially losing jobs through the distributorship, which is different than this, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
the article was saying...
Yeah.
Well, but
it was a different reason, but it had the same kind of end game.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, you separate the evil corporation from the real-world aspect of this. You have somebody who works at Ball Corporation or the Miller plant in Eden, and their husband or wife is a teacher in the elementary school or a nurse at the hospital, and now they have to move. Somebody, you know, other kids in the community and other people in the community are impacted by this as well, even if they don't directly work for them.
Right.
So yeah, this is terrible news. This is way to bring the show down. God,
you are the worst.
I do what I can.
Mark was the worst. You are now the worst.
Yes.
Officially.
So they're saving all this money from shutting down this Eden plant, and what do they do?
They're buying a brewery in California that I knew was set up to be sold. If anybody's ever done any research into St. Archer Brewery, this brewery was set
up. We've had on the show, and we really liked that one beer we had.
What did we have? I was about to look it up, but since you've already done the homework, I figured maybe you would know.
I did the homework, but I don't remember what it was. Hang on a second, I'll read
you. A few of their beers, actually.
Yeah, Mark, I think you were the one that brought it, because Chris never brings anything back.
Now, here's the weird part, and it gets even weirder with our next story.
Their white ale. It was a wit beer.
10th and Blake technically purchased.
Everybody bought it.
St. Archer, and not MillerCoors.
So 10th and Blake is legitimately operating as an independent company then,
That's
right?
The way it's starting to look like.
How soon before MillerCoors buys out 10th and Blake?
Yeah, that's true.
Purchaseception.
St. Archer, I won't miss you.
Yeah, exactly.
St. Archer's management team will continue to lead day-to-day operations for the first year. I'm sure. You know, and I remember Mark being excited about some of their beers. That wit beer we had, again, everybody bought it. I think we were all there for that show based on what I'm seeing. Good for them, right?
Yeah.
You know, some breweries get into business specifically to get in, make money, sell out, make a ton of money, and then either retire or get back into the industry.
Yeah.
You know, there have been several. We've talked about the Curious Traveler guy and how many different places he's worked for.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah.
you know, for some people, it's hard to get out of it, but they're always looking to turn over companies. I mean, that is, you know, some people like to flip houses. Some people like to flip companies. It is a thing you can do to make money. Well, why not?
What I think is interesting about St. Archer specifically, the brewery just started in 2013. And here we are 2 years later, and they're
already... You're kidding me, really? Wow.
Right there.
But they're expected to sell 35,000 barrels of beer in 2015.
Yep.
We're over here in North Carolina talking about the, like, what is it, 25,000 barrel limit. Yeah.
That triples or doubles, it doubles or triples most of our places locally here in Charlotte.
Yeah. So that's why I say I feel like this was almost set up as a shell company to get bought by one of the big guys. So,
hey, St. Archer's management team will continue to lead the day-to-day operations. Go figure. Who never says that? We're going to fire the entire management team.
I said it like just 5 minutes ago.
I
know,
but yeah, I want to see somebody actually buy a company and say, we're going to fire all of your bosses and managers, and now you have new bosses and managers, and just be realistic about it.
Yeah.
Be honest. Just go ahead and say
it. You have to manage the brand and make sure that the existing fan base stays loyal.
My God, is everything for sale, man?
It is. So,
holy crap, the next story.
Talk about some weird, weird, weird shit that happened. So there is a Virtue Cider Company.
That wouldn't happen to be the same guy who left Goose Island and started Virtue Cider Company.
It would happen to be the same one.
Wow.
That left because AB InBev had purchased Goose Island. And now he's turning around and selling his majority stake to Goose Island. So we just talked about 10th and Blake operating as their own entity. Apparently, nobody knew this. At least I didn't. Goose Island.
Are they, or is this happening for tax reasons?
Well, that's a good point. It very possibly could be tax reasons. But the way they make it, the way they drew it up on paper, is that Goose Island, not AB InBev, purchased the rights to the cider.
Either way, it's Goose Island. Money goes through there, goes into AB InBev. It's all the same thing in my book, whether it's on paper or not. But cider, huge. I mean, a lot of the AB InBev, especially a lot of those bigger companies are trying to figure out, like, okay, like, if we can't get into craft beer, we can only buy so many craft breweries or whatever it is. Cider is another thing that
is the Boston Beer Company cider?
Angry Orchard.
Angry Orchard does more cider, revenue than the beer does.
Yeah. So cider is growing rapidly. It's doing very well. It's a drink that a lot of people like to have. Does not surprise me that they're buying this either way. To me, it just seems weird that they're buying it through Goose Island. That's like,
by the way, side note, I'm not a huge cider guy. I like the I don't like the champagne-y ciders, but I do like some ciders. And I had one by Wendy Hill here.
Yeah, Wendy Hill. Yeah.
We've had them on the show. Peach cider.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
Sometimes you're in the mood for a cider. I mean, there's been times I've gone to grabbing lunch somewhere and like see something on tap or in the refrigerator, and it's like, oh, like, I could do a cider at lunch. It's a little bit lower in alcohol, a little bit sweeter. It's a little bit cold outside. Come on.
I like apple juice for lunch.
Yeah,
why not?
With alcohol, with a little spiked apple juice.
So this one, much like the St. Archer, does not disclose the terms, but this brewer was the one that basically introduced Bourbon County to Goose Island. Like, he developed the recipe while he was still there, left 4 years ago when they got bought to go start his own thing, and now he's turned around.
So that's interesting. So he's selling to Goose Island something he came up with while he worked for Goose Island.
No, he left Goose Island when the purchase happened because...
But if the comment...
And his thing was, you can't brew beer anywhere else. So he's like, okay, I'll go do cider. So he
sure,
went cider.
But if this is a recipe he came up with while he worked at Goose Island and then left and then sold it back to Goose
Island... Well, no, because I said Bourbon County. He developed Bourbon County.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's a cidery, and it's in Chicago. It's not distributed anywhere around here, so whatever. I just thought
it was weird.
Yeah,
knock yourself out.
The Goose Island is the one that's buying it. And Mark, I think you're right. It's probably tax.
Something on paper, but hey, I mean, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong, but who would have thunk it?
So who else is for sale, Josh? What else are we going to talk about here?
Actually, this next one is a satire.
The craft beer cast is for sale.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't even need
a full, you come to us with $1 million, oh, you better fucking believe it, we'll sell out.
Oh,
I'll sell out here so fast your guys' head will fucking spin.
Dude, you. I will.
I can't wait for that email. Hey, guys, guess what? We're not doing the show anymore because I just sold out for $1 million.
Cool, bro.
Cool, bro.
When do I pick up my check,
bro? I will emboss this entire room with Budweiser advertisements and praise the word of AB InBev.
I just sold out for 2 cases and a ham sandwich. Awesome.
Worth it.
So
they got the sour end of that deal.
right, so this next one is, I thought it was kind of funny. This is called The Insufferable Beer Geek's Guide to Getting Limited Release Bottles. So
this ought to be great.
Yeah. It is. I read through this. It is very much like we all have those tendencies, and we kind of get into that place where we can be a little bit insufferable. We all do it.
Oh, yeah. I think
some of this hit a little too close to home.
But it's funny because
it's true.
Well, and I was going to say, I honestly think since doing the show, I have kind of lessened a little bit on a lot of that stuff that I used to do, especially because we work in the same building.
Right.
I used to roll around with you all the time.
We're spoiled because every 2 weeks we get to hang out and basically have a bottle share.
Yeah.
So,
It makes it a little bit harder. But.
So I want to say, so we should go around this. Who's guilty and not guilty of each one of these offenses?
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
I'll start with number one.
Do we have to?
It's not playing hooky if you're a freelancer. What about if you don't even
have a job?
Have a job.
What does that mean?
They'll get to that.
You're taking a day off work to chase beer trucks? Is that what this is? To go to a release? I mean, what is this? You're taking a day. You're not going to work.
To either go to. I mean, it could be anything. Going to a release because it's like opening up, or
right.
Once in a while when the bottle shops in town, they get something in, and it's like, you know, I have. Like, they open at 1, and they have it at 1, but like I'm having my lunch at 12:30. Like, well, I can take an extra long lunch, and I can go pick up.
Not guilty. Haven't done it.
Yeah, see? Well, then you're not a piece guilty. Of shit, because you're the worst.
You're a piece of shit. I can say I'm
definitely guilty. So if you've ever taken a long lunch, or you've left early, or
guilty.
You've done something because you are flexible enough in your schedule that you can do that, and you went to go either buy beer just hit the shelf, limited to these, you waited in line, you picked up a ticket, whatever it was, you are guilty of.
Oh, I will tell you a story that I remember very vividly because we have one car. She was at work. I was working here because it was winter and there was some snow. And
oh, yeah, because in the shower, everything shuts down. There's snow.
Right. And Harris Teeter had gotten something in. I don't remember the beer specifically, but I, at lunch, shut down, walked over to the Harris Teeter just to go get that beer. And
so
dick around for
this
like
brings up this brings up
minutes.
Another one of my pet peeves. I got a lot of pet peeves. Old man Purvis. I'm gonna this brings up a pet peeve of mine is people get beer and they have it on like Tuesday morning or Monday morning when the distributor releases it or gives it to them or delivers it to them or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the bottle shop or whoever will hold. They're like, we're gonna have a release event at like 6 p.m. on Thursday. And I'm like, you got it on Monday. Why can't I just buy it now? I've got one of those jobs where I can pretty much come and go as I please or like you know. Not as I, you know what I mean, but I can get away and go up.
Right.
If you have it on Tuesday, why can't I like go up to your Total Wine at 11 a.m. on Tuesday and get this beer? Because they're like, well, we want to give everybody a fair chance. Well, everybody does have a fair chance. What if I can't make it at 6 o'clock on Thursday? Then now I don't have a fair chance.
Yeah, you're fucked.
So, yeah, I'm screwed because I can't make it on 6 o'clock on a Thursday.
There's
so.
Nothing that's going to make everybody happy. And usually,
I'm talking about me right now. I want me to be happy. This is all about me. This is all about me.
Everybody knows about it early enough in advance. They can typically
they
make
want
plans.
The hype. They want the hype.
Sure,
they want people
they
to
do.
Line
they're,
up. They want people
business.
To come in.
They're
and,
running
and,
a charity. They're running a
so,
business.
So yeah, I'm not. All of you guys have skipped work to buy beer. You're all a bunch of douchebags.
Thank you.
You just said you never.
I've never skipped work to buy beer.
Skip work. That's not skipping. Not skipping work.
I may or may not have used one of my 382. Banked breaks that I never take. Okay,
fine. Right. I may have altered my schedule a little bit. I didn't skip work.
So we're talking small potatoes in number one. Number two is a little bit more. The next one is better hope you have frequent flyer miles.
So this is traveling to a beer release.
Yeah.
Now this
you have.
I am guilty of this.
Yes, you are. Very much so.
I have been to the only one I guess would be actually that's not true. Foothills up in Winston-Salem. I always go there for a. Barely Sexual Chocolate. I've been to Wicked Weed releases, and I've been to up in Asheville, and I've been to
Hunapu's Day,
Cigar City, Hunapu Day. I've been to. I'm not sure if I've ever done other ones. I went out to San Francisco Craft Beer Week, but that was for like a vacation to San Francisco.
I'm gonna say I'm not guilty for this, but I've stumbled into things when I've been out of town.
I think this is so more like you've actively
stumbled into.
I need to have this business meeting in this city. On it, no, seriously.
Well, this article specifically calls out Hunapu Day, and this guy's friend would schedule meetings in Tampa right around.
Oh,
that
good
time.
For him! Shit, at least he got something out of it.
Well,
I'm not gonna lie. Take off work to go do it.
Dude, true story. So today, like literally today, I get a message from a guy in one of our other offices. He's like, "Hey, I see you've got an open headcount. You're hiring. I said, well, yeah, we're blah, 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 details. And he's like, well, I got this guy that is a contractor. Really be interested. I think he'd be really good. I want to bring him on, keep him full time, but I don't have a spot for him. I said, okay. Is he by chance housed out of either the San Diego or Seattle office? He wasn't. So, I was like,
so I'm guessing not guilty, not guilty. You've not
not guilty.
A
never.
I have tried. Don't get me wrong. I have tried.
So dude, I have a hard enough time just driving up to, like, say, the NoDa area for a special release. There's no way I'm flying anywhere
dude,
for it.
Right. So I'm gonna throw us off kilter here. But dude, we live in the future, man. Josh is like vaping an e-cig, charging via a USB port on his laptop.
Yeah.
Dude, do you have like a dashboard on there that can tell you how much like
no,
nicotine
this,
you have left
this
in there?
One
That'd
doesn't.
Be cool as shit. That'd be
this,
cool as hell.
There's some out does. It's got like, you know.
There's some out there that do.
We live in the future, man.
We do live
badass.
In the fucking future. But no, back to, I have legit tried to schedule travel around a beer release in an area where I know that something's dropping, and then plans fall through and it just never ends up working out. But I have legit tried to do this at least 3 times.
So hey, trying, well, but not guilty.
All right, right.
Trying.
You tried to murder someone, but you were never successful.
I'll be,
right.
I'll be
so it's
two
okay.
for two. Yeah. So if you're used to buying a six-pack for $12, please, not a game for
real,
you.
Real quick, before we go any further, make sure you keep track of your score so we can compare.
Yep. Two for two.
Okay. Let's see who is the most unsufferable.
Chris is 0-2.
I'm 0-2.
1-2. 1-2.
I've got a point.
All right. So what was the next one, Mark?
Oh, yeah. It said, if you're used to buying a six-pack for $12, this is not a game for you.
Mm. All right, so we're talking about expensive beer. Yeah.
We're all guilty of this.
Yeah,
and this is something that, like, forget chasing rare beer. Forget that. That's like bullshit. Because rare beer, honestly, a bottle of Hunepu's Imperial Stout, $20, right?
Right.
There's beers on the shelf of every bottle shop that you go to that cost more than that.
Okay, let's play this game.
That's bullshit.
Let's play this game. What is the most expensive bottle you have ever purchased?
Cable car.
Okay.
Was at San Francisco Craft Beer Week. Okay. We had Pliny the Younger on tap. Big swinging dick, right?
Yeah.
I'll pile it on. Pliny the Younger, Pliny the Elder, and Blind Pig side by side. And then it was at Tornado, and they kind of, I guess they get like, Chris had a better idea. Like, they get the hookup from Russian River. So they had bottles of cable car. So I wound up shelling out. It was a total of $60 for that year's bottle.
Okay.
I split it with two other people, so $20 each. We each got a full like pour of it.
Saw that,
right.
100% worth it, but $60 was the most I've ever paid for a single bottle.
Quit stealing beer, you jackass.
I paid $10 for that bottle. Shut your pie hole.
Ah, fine. All right.
I'm probably in the $45 range. I don't think I've ever spent over $50 for a bottle, so I'm probably in the $40, $45 bottle range, and I can't recall what it was, which is a really bad sign.
Okay.
Yeah, that is sad. It was probably something that was very unmemorable, and I swear to God, it was probably something Cigar City that I spent $40 on or $45.
No way.
Yeah, it was probably something stupid. I don't remember. Yeah, Jeff?
I bought an $18 bottle of Sexual Chocolate one time. I'm cheap.
You've also bought like a $6
bottle. I also bought 6 bottles for $18 the year before. So
yeah.
It kind of like I feel like so I feel like I'm
you're winning
down.
Right now.
Yeah,
you're
it's
winning.
Like I'm playing with house money at that point, but
you
yeah.
Are.
I'm still kicking myself cuz I went out and I tried to find some Omega Point. No luck.
No joy.
Which doesn't surprise me. I mean, it's been 6 months.
Right.
It should all be gone.
Yeah, at this point absolutely.
Josh.
So do 6 packs count?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So
$100.
$100.
So wow. I just did. Was it $16.67?
Yep.
Right.
That Which was it? Really, I mean, a lot of times people sell those worldwide.
$16.67 for a 12-ounce bottle. So
okay.
That's actually up there, but
that's
also
almost Wicked Weed money.
Kind of special.
Yeah, and I still have one that is sitting in there, and it will not see the light of day for a good 2 or 3 years,
as long as it possibly can.
Yep. I am saving that motherfucker. Actually, believe it or not, too, that Imperial Stout, the Founders one.
You should pull that thing out of the fridge.
I want to start a vertical with that.
Let it age on a shelf, man. Pull that thing out of the fridge. You're not going to get any age on it when it's that cold.
You don't think?
No. It's too cold.
It's 45 degrees. It's not that cold.
Yeah, good. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I don't keep that thing that cold.
We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. Continue.
So everybody has everybody got like a check for that one. That was, you know, we've all spent
all right,
way
so
too much
keep track
beer.
Of your score.
So the last one, yes, you two
that's
will
not
have
the last
to wait,
one, sir.
The last one.
Oh,
the
next one. Sorry, the next one. Next one. Yes, you two will have to wait in line like the other plebes. So this is talking about waiting in line. waiting in line. I mean, honestly, like, if you have not, I've waited in line all the time. Like, if you've never waited in line for a beer and you've been drinking a lot of craft beer, that's pretty strange to me. I feel like most people have waited in line at some point for something. You've never waited in line at all, Jeff.
I've done it. So hit me. I've done it, but I won't do it anymore. I like if I go to some place and I got burned last year, and I will never do it again. I'm not going to go line up at 4 in the morning or whatever. I'm not doing it.
Two different types of standing in line. There's the I'm standing in line and I'm pissed off and miserable because I had to stand in line and wait to get beer. And then there's the I'm standing in line super early or super late at night and I'm able to drink with people and have a bottle share and have fun, and I'm like making it an experience. Again, not the same thing, but I can see where people don't want to do it.
Right.
But there's something to be said about like, I'm sorry, BA Sexual Chocolate, Foothills, they do a great job.
Sure, I need to go to that.
My thing is, I don't want to do a bottle share at 6 a.m. I don't.
Now you can, but yeah. But I get why people don't want to do that, but.
Suck it up, just, old
it
man.
It is like sometimes like that's what you need.
Don't want to
punish your liver that early. It's lots that's of fun.
Release it at 8 p.m., man. Dude, let people line up and hang out outside your bar here's all the fun day part. And drink beer and then release it at 8 p.m. Don't
wait a minute,
it at
Tiger.
8 a.m.
Wait a minute. Here's the fun part. So you drink that early. You're hungover by like noon. You sleep it off and you're ready to go again.
Not interested.
We are not 20 years old anymore.
This is the most understandable polarizing, like I will sure. and won't do, because like
well, and yeah, I did
I left,
it.
I left the
which,
work
what did you say
early.
In the line for Josh?
I took a long lunch. I waited in line. I spent too much money. Whatever. But like waiting in line to me is one of the things that for some people it's just like I won't do it. Look, I won't wait in line because taking off lunch like 30 more minutes. Right.
Monstro.
Yep. And I didn't even get a bottle.
Yeah, that was.
And I was.
That's a different.
I was angry. I don't care that I had beer. I was still angry, sure. And that kind of burned me on the whole experience.
No, I get it.
Because that was the first time I'd really done it.
Yeah. Well,
and don't get me wrong. I want to do it. I do want to do the Foothills sexual BA sexual chocolate at some point. I mean, it's not that far to begin with, and I've heard
Foothills
it's a lot of fun.
It's such a great trip. I mean, yeah. We've all been there. It's such a great place.
All right, so I'll chalk another one up to that. Next one, stalk social media like a 13-year-old. Proud to say, I'm not the biggest social media person, and that
to find out where a beer is.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example here, because the one that checked me off for taking the long lunch is counts for this as well, because the day that 2 years ago, I guess, Total Wine said, "Hey, we just got KBS in." I'm like, "Oh," because it was April 1st, right?
Yep.
Are you serious? Oh, yeah, we've got it. I'm like, all right, then I'm going.
Yep.
Stalking social media was the last time I did it.
Yeah.
But I mean, guilty.
I'm virtually chasing the beer truck. Yeah. I'm guilty.
If you're remotely on social media and you're following the right like places, this is going to be great for you. It's just normal. For me, right. I'm not on it. I'm the person who I'll hear about it through a friend or somebody, or like an email will come through like, hey, this is happening. But a lot of the beer events that I go to, the ones that I kind of like always like, that I'm waiting in line for, I'm signed up for. I know like when they're happening roughly, and like I kind of follow them. But
right.
some people I would say following social media for the truck chasing, right?
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, like I heard that like this place is getting it at 2 p.m. tomorrow. Like, should go try and check it out.
Now, I'll be honest and say again, I think it's not a symptom, but a good thing of doing this show. I don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I used to like religiously. I would follow all of the beer shops. I had a little list set up in my tweet deck.
It is good to
of
know.
All of the
it's
beer
good to
shops.
Know when things have like when things are dropping, but
right. And now it's just kind of like, you know what? If it hits Charlotte, one of the four of us is probably going to hear about it and pick it up.
If you know like quote unquote know enough people in the beer scene, like if you go to bottle shares, you go to bars and stuff where people have beer, it's like, oh, I didn't get a bottle of blank, but like you'll be able to try it. I mean,
hell, that's how I fucking met you.
Yeah,
I had beer for you. It was a magical experience, Jeff.
It was, gosh. Best 30 seconds
giving
of my life.
Giving some side eyes.
So the next one. Suck up to the buyers. This is a bullshit title because sucking up to the buyers, for quote plebes, I'll use a term from their own article, like us, we don't own bottle shops, breweries, whatever, restaurants. We don't get to like quote unquote know the buyers. If you're a regular at a bar or that sells beer, or a bottle shop, or a place that you go to a lot, you'll naturally create relationships with somebody, and they'll say, I know you like this every year. It's coming out next week. Or I'll put aside a bottle or two for you. Like, that is your reward for being a good customer to a location. There's nothing wrong with that.
I wouldn't even call it a reward. That is a perk of being a regular.
Yeah. And you, if I'm spending hundreds of dollars a month,
I'm going to bring up something here. I'm going to put a different lens on this, if you will, for a second.
Okay.
This is pretty good, and I've always wondered about this. So if any of our listeners own or work at bottle shops or own or work at big box stores like Total Wine or wherever happens to get some good beer. So I know a lot of times bottle shops get a case or a 12-pack or five bombers or something like that. And I know that there are employee allowances. How often do employees get the entire allotment of something that never sees the public?
I saw that happen. So I saw a similar type issue happen the last time I was in Evansville. Mm-hmm. I'm hitting a couple of the bottle shops. That'll come up later. And I walk into one and I'm like, hey, you know.
I know Mark Eifrate.
I got, yeah, right.
Fuck you.
I had picked up a 6-pack of Yum Yum, which we all enjoyed.
Yeah.
I had picked up a couple other things. I'm like, you know what I'm really looking for is some Gumball Head. And the guy's like, well, because I saw it sitting on the floor, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't see me see it, but he's like, well, we got a case in, but it's all going to the owner. So it is a thing that does happen, although arguably the owner, I mean, you know, you can do whatever you want.
Like, when you work at a bottle shop, one of your perks store, you get some beer. Sometimes they'll say like, hey, we only got eight bombers. We've got 12 employees. We're all going to our employees. Or they get four cases and a case will go to their employees and not. I mean, it happens, but at the end of the day, you're probably not charging your employees typically the same markup you're charging customers. So it all depends on your own prerogative. What do you want to make on it? And what do you want to reward?
Now, I want to call bullshit on your whole being a regular, because I have, and I will raise my hand proudly, specifically done this at two locations. Got to know who was running the beer section and started talking to them just for the special perk of getting shit that I know isn't normally free and easy to get.
But you go there.
Not on a regular basis.
Okay. Well, then you did suck up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. Fair, I mean, like, if you can be that guy, go for it.
Yeah.
More power to
you. I don't do it anymore. I don't have to, but
I've never felt the need. You go to some place. If you go to the same three places, like, over and over again for your beer, like, you eventually just, like, get that. So.
The thing that bugs me is they don't have like a flashing ass neon sign outside of the place that says whether or not you're going to have it. So you go to Total Wine, they keep shit behind the counter, and they're not really partial to regulars because they're a big box store, but you got to ask, hey, do you have any of this super special secret rare release beer? And they're like, yes, we do. Two bottle limit. Here you go, sir.
Right.
Rather than just having it on the shelf. I get a small bottle shop. Yeah, they're not going to advertise it and hold it and do all this stuff. But you got to ask specifically at a big box store, or you know somebody at a smaller
store. Big box
stores
I don't get as much. Like, maybe, because I feel like big box stores want to make this idea of like, oh, it's limited. Like, they'll be like, we got, spoiler, Grapefruit Sculpin up. Like, limit, like, 1 6-pack a person. Like, that's what a big box store does. I've never seen something like that happening at like the smaller stores. They don't do that with beers that they actually have limited availability of.
Right.
I don't see it happening as much as
they're
they
not,
do it.
They're like, not falsely generating hype.
I see Total Wine doing that a lot. Oh, Total Wine. Go and they'll be like, we're limited. I'm like, you're not limited. I'm like,
Total Wine has a section. It's almost like they have an end cap, but it's there at that front desk that always has to have something in it that is the limited beer of the day.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I actually went to Total Wine on Saturday and there was nothing. I specifically looked.
I'd say probably anymore like 30% of the time.
Limit 24 bottles a person.
30% of the time they're not there. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
But anytime there's any kind of any even remotely.
Well, and I will say I was floored that I actually just found of the month sitting on the shelf and not up there at the limit, because I know they've done that.
No,
before.
Not well. Now that it's the 19th of the month,
yeah.
From Foothills, it's not. I mean, it's back in the cooler case for $6, and you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mark. Next one.
All right, so next one. Always give the appearance that you care about your local beer store. So, I think that title again is bullshit, but I will give them the if there's a certain beer release going on and there's a beer that you really want to get and you go to your local store and it's like not there, but you've heard about the Total Wine or the Harris Teeter or name your other beer store here that has it, there's nothing wrong with going there. I think that most people, I don't know about you guys, I typically try and shop for convenience or places where I go. There's
right.
about three different beer stores throughout Charlotte that I typically frequent for different reasons and different places and times. I go there first. If I can't get it, then I will look other places.
See, I think
it's unfair to kind of...
Well, I think kind of their shtick here is more about the obsessive, I'm going to go to five bottle shops in a day and I have to pretend that I support them all.
Right.
I don't pretend that I support all the bottle shops in this town.
You can't.
They're all good.
Yeah.
Well, most of them are good, but I don't pretend to support them all. And there have been times, and I'll go ahead and say it out loud. I mean, there have been times that I've gone into Carolina Beer Temple looking for something specific and they didn't have it. And if there isn't something else that strikes my fancy on the shelf, it's
half the time you're going to get a specific
I,
beer. Half the time you're going to like just casually shop. And if you don't have what you want.
Exactly. It's not that I'm going there. And it's not that I'm unsupportive of Carolina Beer Temple. It's just not necessarily convenient for me. So if there is something there that strikes my fancy, then I will pick it up. I would support those guys. It just isn't my
there's nothing wrong with that. Shop what's convenient for you.
I don't even know how we rate that. I don't know how we score that one. So maybe we skip that one.
Let's skip that one.
Well,
the next one's a very easy one, too.
It is, but one thing I did want to...
Have you ever been to a bottle shop that you don't frequent looking for the beer that you really want that wasn't available at your local spot?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm guilty.
Yeah.
Done it.
Yeah. But
have you bought beer specifically to make it seem like you support that bottle shop?
No,
I don't have that. All right, see ya, and I leave. So
that's so one thing that I did want
to do, but yeah,
that I did want to call that. Out yeah, in this I've article.
Yeah. Or, I'm sorry. I have done that together.
Yeah. One thing I do want to call out in this little tiny section is that beer geeks sometimes will go into every beer store they pass for the same reason my wife makes me go into every dumb little boutique when we're on vacation, just to see if there's anything interesting.
So I am
extremely guilty of that.
I am guilty of doing that. That's kind of why I said we'd come back to that, because when I go to Evansville, I hit every bottle shop.
But it's typically that I'm looking for certain things. There,
but I don't buy something from every bottle shop.
Like, I don't browse bottle shop in Charlotte expecting there to be some huge drastic change in what's available. Like, sure, if I visit a state that I've never been to, like,
cool.
I'm going to Portland. Like, hell yeah, I'm going to go to each bottle shop because I have no idea like what the selection's like.
Right.
But when I'm in Charlotte, like, no, that's bullshit.
Well, I still even want to call bullshit on that because I don't go to every bottle shop all the time, so I'll give you a great example.
You don't need to.
Well, but I'll give you a great example. Good Bottle. I love that place. I don't go that much. I maybe go two or three times a year, tops.
Yeah.
But what I will go specifically because I have, it's been this Harris Cedar because, I've gone on record to say that's pretty much my beer store because it's three blocks away from the house.
Yeah.
But I will go there specifically just to see what's new. So I am guilty of that.
There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's shop where you want to support and support local when you can. The next one, though, God, like, this is something that I heard a lot about and never got into, thank God. Track the cargo relentlessly. Now, thank God I never got into this. But I know people who have, and they are truly relentless about knowing where the beer trucks are going, who's getting it, who has
this
it,
is
who
truck chasers,
have it.
Right? Truck chasers. Truck it even chasing. Says it's truck chasing right here. Not guilty. I've never chased a truck.
You wouldn't say Hop Slam? No, I didn't chase a truck. Everybody got it in town, and that was more. That was goes
Fair
back
enough.
To the social media thing.
Fair enough.
I've never chased a truck, or even found out. Now, my buddy from Spokane, when he drove 9 hours out of his way to go to Vermont to get Heady Topper. He chased trucks.
Yeah, that's truck chasing. What are you yawning over there for? It's like 8. If even that.
7:30.
I need like a coffee stout or something, man. I don't know.
Hold up. I got you, bro.
Yeah, I got you, bro. All right, Mark, next one.
All right, next one. Buy more than is reasonable or allowed. Now, this is something that we are all guilty of, but I also think that is not fair because sometimes somebody will come to you and say, the limit is one per person. Two per person. I've gone to buy beers where I wanted three.
Right.
Because I'm buying one for me, one to age, and one for one of you guys or for the show, right?
Right.
I would buy three, but you can only buy two. So it's like, okay,
one
I buy
Asians?
What's allowed. No, I didn't say that. I said one for here. Wow. Pay attention.
No, I really thought he did.
God. But then there's also times where you go somewhere and they'll say, there's limit one case per person.
Right.
like, okay, I don't need a case of this beer. I want like a 12-pack, or I want or two six packs, whatever. Yeah. So I don't know. For me, I'm guilty, but I think that everybody's guilty of this.
This goes out to the people from the Hunapu's Day disaster 2 years ago.
That's exactly that what
like
made
one
me
case
think.
Limit, yeah. And then some douchebag on Instagram posting like 12 cases of Hunapu's.
Or what about the douchebag that did the Hop Slam and bought that whole fucking
the
cart.
Whole hand cart full of Hop Slam? Yeah,
fuck you, fucker.
Yeah, that's what this is about.
Enjoy
yeah.
your way too much Hop Slam. I don't know. All right, so we're all guilty of that one. We'll pass it on.
No, I'm not guilty of that.
Yes, you are. Bullshit.
I've not bought more than is allowed.
No, not
so,
more. No, or what's allowed. That was
no.
The,
it says more than is allowed.
Yeah, more than.
Okay, well, no. Yeah, like, not okay, guilty so of then that. No, not more than is allowed. Shit. All right, fine. Then no. Form a beer nerd coalition and embed yourself in as many networks as possible. This I have not done.
This is scary.
But this is one of those. We had an article on the show not too long ago that talked about kind of like this secret world of, not to say beer trading, but almost like
mules.
Beer muling, but like yeah. beer buying and selling. Again, like take it for what it is. I'm biased. Beer trading is one thing. When you're going around buying up as much as you can to purposely resell it to make money, that's a much different thing.
Yeah.
That's a little bit. I'm not okay with that, personally.
Yeah.
This is something that I'm not guilty of, but I've seen kind of like what that
right.
world is like.
Yeah, not guilty. Never even really heard of it.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. All right, what's
this
next?
This is like Silk Road. I recognize that it exists, but I've never actually...
So this one's kind of sad. Only share out of necessity. That's...
Mark's life.
Yeah, that's all I do. No, it's...
That's asshole mentality.
Yeah, and I was like, I've actually always felt like in the craft beer world, one of the reasons why I kind of fell in love with it whatever years ago was because it was the opposite of that. It was like, I've got this really great bottle. Like, I want to share it with you guys.
Right.
And like, while we did the thing at my old place where we did like different, it's like,
yeah,
that's like,
yeah, you saved all those
the beer. And
yeah,
like,
there's Dark Lord variants.
How much fun is it to sit by yourself and drink beer? Like,
well,
and
here's one of the things is I am complete contrast of some of my friends. I've got friends who have these cellars and they like judge themselves on the size and the quality of their cellar, and they buy shit and put it in there and hold it and keep it and take pictures of it and show it and brag it. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know what the listeners think of the show. I mean, I have a very, very tiny, small cellar because I don't really keep beer.
My cellar is right there.
I keep a very small amount of beer, and I usually share it, bring it to the show, share with friends, neighbors, family.
Right.
I mean, I really don't hoard anything. That's the hoarder mentality, right?
And some of this, too, yeah. is the... I'm only going to share this bottle, and it's going to go to a bottle share that has 80 to 100 people at it.
Right.
What's the point?
I'm whipping my dick out to come show you what I got.
Honestly, yeah. that's what it is.
I think it should be. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm going to a bottle share if it's a bunch of people who don't know beer very well. Like, I'm not going to pull out a bottle of like a 2004 Cantillon like when people around who have no idea what Cantillon is.
Right.
But I'm also like not going to like hoard it and just like have it on my own. So I think that what this comes down to is, don't worry about the big swinging dick syndrome. And
yeah.
worry more about like sharing good beer with the people that you really want to share with.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And my rule for my cellar too is there's a certain max that I let my cellar get to, and then I try and not let it get below a certain amount because I find that I'll get to a certain point where I'm like, I need to just fucking get rid of beer.
Yeah.
And then it's like, whatever it is, just try it, have it, and then you get down to a certain point like I gotta like get a little.
Yeah, bit I gotta hold this beer now.
Yeah, so because like you're running out of beer, like
right.
build it back up. But yeah, no, don't be the guy who's
an asshole
holding on to beer just because he wants to be able to brag on Facebook or Twitter, or Instagram about how much he has.
All right, so final scores.
Oh fuck!
I lost track.
Did I keep track?
I think three, four tops.
Two, three, four, something like that.
Five
yeah.
for me.
Yeah,
probably.
I think four for me.
So we're all moderately yeah. insufferable.
Yeah, we're not too yeah. terrible.
I think
some of those
you
are
know,
bullshit too. So
well, and you know, Josh made a good point. There's the person we were probably 2 years ago versus the person we are today. You know, I look at Chris a lot, and his mentality has changed just even the last like 6 months about what he's focusing on. You know, hyperlocal,
right?
Not getting too hung up on certain things. I find myself being a lot more accommodating to people and what they want to drink.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily, I can't support that brewery. I don't necessarily want it, but I'm not going to be a dick about it.
Right.
It's just, I've got my stuff. You're welcome to have any of it.
I want to try and bring people in and not push people away.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've seen that goddamn stupid bottle of Terrapin that has been in there for I don't even know how long. Haven't touched it. Because, you know what? I just, whatever. I've let it go. It's waxed. Yeah.
I forgot that was in here.
Yeah.
Blackberry.
Yeah, and it's just been sitting there, and my mentality previously probably would have been, you know what, Jeff, take it. I don't want it. And now it's like, whatever. I don't care.
It's got wax on it.
I specifically brought it for the show.
I know you did.
Yeah. It's waxed, man. It's really good. It's waxed.
But whatever. It's you know my stance on that damn brewery.
Break time?
I've let it go. Yes, it is break time.
Break time, yeah.
We'll be back in 30. You're about to find out because it's time for Buy No Buy. Mark, how does it work?
Oh, Buy No Buy, my turn. Cool. Buy No Buy, we don't do 1 to 5, 1 to 10, 1 to 100. We just say whether or not you'd buy that beer again with your monies. So, yeah. What do we have? What's the first up?
First, Wicked Weed's Pernicious. This came out about the same time as Tyranny. We had Tyranny a couple episodes ago. This is just a regular India Pale Ale. I could have sworn somebody told me it had some kind of Brett or some kind of funk in it, but I didn't really pick that up. It's a pretty good IPA. I really want to take a stand and say it's an 11.2-ounce bottle.
330 milliliters.
That's
my problem with Wicked Weed is their weird-ass bottle sizes. God, man, just... So it's 11.2 ounces.
Right.
You get a four-pack for $9 of 11.2 ounces. It's $9 for a four-pack of less than 12-ounce bottles. That's really, really messed up.
And the sad part is I find their beer to be so hit and miss. One I'll enjoy, the next I won't like at all. This one I liked.
Is it buy,
man,
though?
I struggle with that 11. I mean, and I know it's not even a full ounce that they're shorting me. It feels like such a douchebag.
Stop being so weird, man. And where do you buy these size bottles?
Astral, bro. It's Astral.
Where do you buy these size bottles? Would it be cheaper for you to buy the same size bottles that everybody else in the country buys and uses?
No, because it's Wicked Weed.
Dude, it's Astral, bro.
So when it all comes down, it's all done and said, I'm going to buy this beer because I think the beer is good. I'm buying it under protest, though, because I'll put it this way. I will not buy it in the bottle. About that.
Fair enough.
I'd buy it on tap, but I won't buy it in the bottle because I am so annoyed by it for that reason. Christopher?
I actually love this beer. Love it. So it's a buy. You can go ahead and mark that down.
Done and done.
Yeah, I really love it. I had this side-by-side with Freak Double IPA. They're a big flagship. Everybody goes crazy for Freak, and they're weird 500 milliliter bottles, not 550, 500, which is 16.09 ounces instead of 16, or
$10,
440 milliliters, whatever they did in that too, is just stupid as well. This beer, there's no Brett, this isn't their Funkatorium. This is just one of their flagship beers, and they did a really good job on it. Great balance. Freak is just a straight up hop forward bitter, just punch you in the tongue.
Yeah.
Double IPA.
Good for what it is.
Yeah.
This
side by side, I will pick this 99 out of 100 times over Freak Double IPA. Pernicious is freaking delicious. Good balance, good hop profile, good flavor. My only problem is that bottle size and the four pack. It just doesn't work. But I'm buying it. So buy. Mark.
Definitely a buy for me. Definitely agree. Freak Double, I was having that beer, really enjoyed it, really liked it. Price point's a little bit high. That beer is definitely a buy for me. Was very pleasantly surprised when I picked up some Pernicious and had it. Much different beer, much more mellow, easier drink. Still just over 7%.
7.3, I think. 7.2, 7.3.
7.6.
Definitely up there. Still a great beer. Bottle size weird, whatever. 100% buy for me. Really enjoy it. Josh, what do you think?
Eh.
Really?
Just wasn't that good.
All right.
Got to be honest. I barely remember it compared to some of the other beers. So
wow.
Yeah, I'm going to know by that one. All right, Jeff, next beer up.
Next beer up is the Stone, because we're going to talk about Stone again. The Stone 19th anniversary. They call this Thunderstruck.
Trademark AC/DC.
Trademark AC/DC.
He uses Australian hops.
All mate. Aussie hops. Ella, Galaxy, Topaz, Vic's Secret. This is not my first one of these. I actually really enjoy this beer a lot. I've bought it and I will continue to buy it. I'm not, I don't know. I'm kind of done.
Okay.
Three is my limit.
Three is your limit.
But it's a buy.
But it's a buy. You know, it was, I want to say it was like $7 or $8. It's good. It's a little dry, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I like this beer. I'm a buy.
Fair enough.
Chris?
So it's not my first time having this either. I've had it on tap, have not had bottle. I was interested to check out that tap to bottle experience. I liked it on tap. I like it on bottle.
Like ass to mouth.
Yeah, of course.
Never go ass to mouth.
Yeah. I liked it on bottle as well, so bye.
All right. Really enjoyed this one. There's something about Stone's beers that they hit this kind of like weird midway point for me between something that's like almost too malty. I've talked on the show before, not the biggest super malt bomb double IPA fan. I like drier side, but a lot of their beers, they come out with just enough malt body to it, but just enough kind of like hot presence that I really enjoy it. Pleasantly surprised, really liked it. I shouldn't say surprised. Again.
Surprise, motherfucker.
No, like another beer from Stone. I mean, we've talked about it. Their anniversary beers and their year-round beers, usually some of the best ones. It's the weird kind of one-offs that are a little bit questionable. Right. So for me, it's a buy. Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, I was shocked. I don't want to say it, but I almost feel like I've had this "I hate Stone" mentality lately.
Well, we all have, right? We just got fed up with their junk,
Stone gimmicks,
and then we quit paying attention to them,
right?
And then it was fine.
Yeah, and now it's like okay.
I was making this comment the other day. There are so many Stone bottles at any given time at any given bottle shop, and I pass almost all of them by. But the anniversary, if the style looks like something I'd be interested in, I try it.
Right. And which and this has been, I think, all of our faults. They've re-released their IPA, the Ruination, all the 2.0 recipes. Yeah. We've yet to have them on the show. I've actually had them. They're not bad. The
Ruination's good.
Good.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
So here's the thing with Stone. They make good beer, especially IPAs. They make really good IPAs and double IPAs. When they start getting into like gimmicky shit, that's where I fall off the bandwagon.
Done
with the bandwagon stuff. The gimmicks got to go away with the gimmicks.
Yeah, so this is a damn solid beer. I will buy it, absolutely.
It's just really good.
It's really good. All right, Jeff, next beer up.
Next beer up is Bell's The Oracle.
The Oracle.
A DIPA ale, it says. I'm wondering how many people look at this and go, what's a DIPA ale?
It's a diaper ale.
Diaper ale? This dude looks like he's got a diaper on.
So this is one of those beers where I guess I had the benefit of being a regular at Vintner's, and Kyle was like, hey,
we need to get rid of the stuff.
I've got this thing behind the curtain. Would you like one? I'm like, sure, why not? I'll bring it to the show.
Yeah.
Supposedly, this is like less produced than Hop Slam.
Okay.
Well, so this is at this point, All Day IPA is, I know it's Founders. I made that mistake last show.
Yeah.
Two shows ago.
So yeah, this is a double IPA that is not Hop Slam. So this is not brewed with honey or molasses or whatever they did with the maple syrup or whatever they do.
Cat piss.
But very limited. I think they got one case at Vendors, and I happened to stumble into a bottle because I'm a regular there. So yeah,
fair enough. Jeff,
it's okay.
Okay,
I'm not paying a premium for this. It's not anything that I'm. You know what?
You're no buying that.
I'm not buying it. Yeah. It's Bell's has got to go a long way to win me back.
Why?
It's just there. Maybe it's the hype from Hop Slam. If I'm going to buy a Bell's, it's either going to be Expedition or Oberon.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. I'd have a hard time buying anything else.
No Two Hearted?
Yeah, really?
Two Hearted?
Like Two Hearted doesn't hit me in the right place. Like, And don't get me wrong, I recognize Two Hearted as being an excellent beer, but it doesn't
just
hit
not
me.
In your wheelhouse.
It doesn't hit me the same way it hits everybody else. Gotcha. And so that's not, if I'm going to buy that kind of a beer, that's not the one I'm buying.
Fair enough. Yeah. Chris?
I liked it. Better than Hop Slam. Their double IPA, which is better than Hop Slam, I'd buy it again. Bye. Mark.
I was very pleasantly surprised with this beer. Never had it before. Really enjoyed it. I would definitely buy it again if I could. Buy for me. Josh?
Yeah. Wow. This is really good. And it's not the Hop Slam mess. Like, just get rid of Hop Slam. Make this. Please.
Seriously.
This is fucking great. All right, Jeff, next beer up.
Next beer up is also the last beer up. Been talking about this for what feels like about 18 different shows.
Yeah.
Finally, at long last, we're having the Prairie Bomb. So the Prairie Bomb
I won't
was,
make my lame joke again either.
Thank you. We've been talking about Prairie for a while. It hit the Charlotte market here not too long ago. And it's very quickly turning into a shelf turd.
However, is Bomb a seasonal beer? Is it a yearly
I think
release?
Bomb is their annual. They have a Christmas Bomb.
Okay. Because I tried to find some the other day, and I no joy. I found everything else.
Total Wine's got it sitting on the shelves.
Yeah, no doubt. Yep. Sitting on the shelves.
$11, a 12-ounce bottle.
Yeah, it's like $10 or $11 for a 12-ounce bottle. So it's a lot.
Okay.
So this is Prairie Artisan Ale's Bomb, an imperial stout aged on coffee with cacao nibs, vanilla beans, and chili peppers. For my taste, all I'm getting is coffee and chocolate. But for my taste, I freaking love it. This is really good. I really like it. I got to buy this. It's expensive as hell.
Yeah.
But
it's a treat.
Exactly. It's a once in a while. I bought one for the show, and then I bought another one just to kind of stick in the refrigerator for sometime down the road. Glad I did. The Christmas Bomb, I really enjoy. This one, I really enjoyed. It's very good. I absolutely adore the coffee they use in their bomb. So it's a buy for me.
Okay.
Chris?
I love this beer. This is delicious. Like I said, it's a treat. It's a buy for me. The price point does bother me, $11 for a 12-ounce bottle, but it's a treat. I'm not going to buy a six-pack of this or four-pack. I don't even know if it comes that way or if you just have to buy single bottles.
I've never seen it, but...
So, spoiler alert,
single bottles.
Spaghetti Western, which is also brewed by Prairie and Brewfist, their collaboration is very similar to this. You can get it for $7, $6 or $7 a bottle.
I would not call this similar.
I think it's pretty similar.
I would not call this similar.
I got to try them.
You're wrong.
I'll have to buy another one. All right.
Side by side.
Anyway, this is a buy.
Mark.
Goodbye. Mark.
You guys hit the nail on the head. This is a special beer. I would. This would be a staple for me if it was cheaper, but it's not.
Right.
It's an expensive treat. I'll go to... I mean, the only place I've seen it, it's been between $10.50 and $11 where I've seen it in Charlotte, only available in single bottles. I would buy this beer all the time if it was cheaper, but it's not.
Yeah.
That being said, phenomenal beer, really delicious, plenty of cocoa, plenty of coffee, really tough to beat. I'm glad we got this beer in our distro, like because I used to trade for this beer and... Trading your mind's a lot different. Like, yeah, you hear like $10.50 and then like you send somebody two or three beers for that. But like,
right.
It's different when you're actually shelling out the money for it. Still really enjoy it though. I mean, like you guys were totally right. Buy, no doubt. But buy at your own discretion for $10.50, $11. Again, sorry, I will say it for the people who buy a lot of, Owen Mass Jesus or One More Jesus from, Evil Twin, that beer is around $12.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody who buys that, I would say this is arguably a better beer than that. A little bit more to it, less. So,
fair enough.
Throw that out there. Bye, Josh.
Josh,
I love this beer too. It's a great beer. It's just that price point kills me.
Seek it out on tap. Yeah. Go buy a proper pint somewhere on tap, man.
Well, tried to do that like a month ago, and you were all, "I'm old. I got to go to sleep."
Yeah. Where was this? I don't remember.
Was
this.
That Moe's?
Yeah, Moe's.
Oh yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe next
Excuse
time.
Excuse me. Mark, it's time for I Tap That. How does that work?
Oh, I Tap That. We went through. We talked about all the beers we'd buy or we would not buy. Now we're going to go back and say of all the ones that we would like to purchase again, what would be the beer that we'd like to have on our own personal home kegerator? Okay. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to start that off. Jeff, what would you tap if you had the choice of all these beers tonight?
So my favorite beer tonight was the Prairie Bomb. I'm struggling at the price point. I can't imagine what a keg is.
Jesus Christ.
But here's the other thing of it. This is something that I'd let sit and age anyway.
Right.
So it's more of a long-term investment as opposed to, like, say, last show, you know, Mark had said something about the Weiss Baby. I'd put that on and we'd kill it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
This is one that I
put on and I bring out for special occasions and I do the, you know, short pours and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I could get into that as a whole keg. I'd probably have to save for a while to get it, but, you know, it'd be worth it in the long run.
All right. So Prairie Dom. Chris?
So, yeah, just screw the 330 milliliter bottles. I'm going to buy a 4.267354 ounce gallon keg of Wicked Weed Pernicious. I'm tapping Pernicious, man. That's just really hit me where it counts for an IPA. Well-balanced, good malt backbone, citrusy, fruity hops. I'm tapping Pernicious.
This is like okay. The most, like, audacious isn't the right word, but it's like the most kind of like obnoxious beer list that we've had in a while. So you've got Prairie Bomb, which is obnoxious because it's $10 a bottle.
Yeah.
You've got Pernicious, which is obnoxious because they can't do a 12-ounce bottle.
Yeah.
You've got Bell's Oracle, which is obnoxious because, hey, it's just like Hop Slam, but it's not Hop Slam. And then it's you've got Stone because, you know, Stone.
It's Thunderstruck.
Yeah.
Right, Mark. Yeah. What'd you have, Mark?
Bomb for me, no doubt. That beer, especially if I didn't have to really worry about the price point, that'd be awesome. But, gosh, it's getting a little bit colder. I could have that on tap for a while. I could leave it as long as I wanted. I could drink it as slowly or as quickly as I wanted to. So definitely Prairie Bomb for me. Josh, what are you tapping, bro? Oh,
man. This has actually been a good show. Last show was kind of dogs.
Yeah.
Good selection.
Sometimes it happens.
I can't believe I'm going to say it, but I've got to give it to the Stone 19th.
It's really good.
Wow.
It's really good. I mean,
for you.
In my mind, other than the Oracle, there's really not a loser here.
Yeah, but the Oracle is still good. I think you're crazy.
Yeah,
I would buy that over Hop Slam any day.
Oh, sure, sure. But I'm not buying Hop Slam anymore either. So that's
well, as we discussed when we had it last time, I actually do like the beer again. I have banned it from the show because of the nonsense.
Honey Pie.
I can't wait to bring it on.
Honey Pies.
Good. I'm going to bring on like a 6-pack of Hop Slam. It's going to be great.
Right on, bro.
Right on, bro.
So if you're interested in checking up on all of us, you can hit us up at craftbeercast.com. You can find links to past shows. We've got an Amazon banner if you want to click on that. You're going to buy some stuff on Amazon anyway. Come back to the site, click on that. It doesn't cost you anything more. Your prices don't change. It's just we get a little bit of a referral bonus. It helps pay for hosting and all that kind of stuff.
And beer.
And not really. I have yet. I mean, I'm still paying for all the beer out of my own pocket. Well, that's I bring true. Anyway. I don't know that's what you're true. Doing, Josh, but I'm still.
I'm not using the Amazon referral.
All like $3 a month that we get. It's not a bit. It's not a lot. It's not anything. But we do appreciate those of you that do make purchases on there. It is helpful. So
and
check us out on there. You can find us on the Twitters at CBcast.
Rate and review us on your preferred platform of podcasting networks, be it iTunes or whatever the hell else you use. That always helps. Get the word out. Tell people about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. In the meantime, you can find me on the Twitters at Jeff Kissel. Chris is available at...
You can send me a text message at area code 704. I'm kidding. I'm on Snapchat at sex. I'm kidding on that one, too.
Yeah. God.
You can find
he's
me
so,
at it.
He's so old, his Snapchat username is sex.
Yeah, there you go. I got the three there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm on the Twitters at golfer. Mark, where
hey, you? Hold on. You want to spell that for the people?
I'm tired of spelling it, man. You find me on the website. I got a little Twitter blog on there.
G-O-L-P-H-U-I-T.
Fair enough.
Spelled it. I'm in Mark's favorites.
You
good.
Are, actually. I am at Craft Beer Mark. Josh,
do you want to pimp your other thing?
Yeah,
you're
well,
really bad about that.
I'm at Beer Exchange app. If you want to hear about what we're doing with the Beer Exchange, some cool stuff coming up in the works since the last show even. So stay tuned. Josh.
Very cool stuff coming.
What are you at on the Twatters?
I am at Josh TBC. You can check out the other video game show with Jeff and then the comic show at some point when it comes back. And we will talk to you guys next Thursday.
sad, sad robot, sad, sad robot all alone.